you are physically not there and honestly probably not reachable for periods of time. What happens? Things come up, questions come up.
I mean, it's a medical emergency for someone calling, or it's a t-shirt to be printed. Like, the t-shirt will be there when I get back, I guarantee it.
Hey, Pronouncers, welcome back to the podcast. We've got Jared Gavard at JG Graphics out of Rancho Cordova, California. He's been at it for 6 years, but this is really interesting. Jared has been running his business part-time, really the whole time, as he scaled. And now did around 1.5 million last year with about 10 people. His full-time gig is being a firefighter, and we dive into how he's done it, managing it part-time. I find it kind of cool. Create time restraints, resource constraints right out of the gate, and allow yourself to thrive through that process. So, pretty cool episode.
But wait, we got some sponsors.
We got some sponsors. Graphics Source, JG Graphics, actually another Graphics Source user, and that's one of the ways he helped scale that business there too. They plug and play with Printavo. And when it comes to SEPs, mocks, creative art, order management, digitizing, back office admin, all that good stuff, they've been doing it for over 40 years to be able to help. You know, Steven's got quite a few artists helping on production work. And if you mention Printavo Pod 2-4, that gets you 50% off your first vector SEP or digitized order. That's graphxsource.com.
Easy way. Are you spending hours cleaning dirty screens? Well, that is a thing of the past with EasyWay's screen printing and cleaning chemicals. Their innovative formulas are designed to work quickly and effectively so you can spend less time cleaning and more time creating. Plus, EasyWay is passionate about empowering printers of all skill levels. They offer helpful resources and expert advice to help you succeed in screen printing. There is no better company for all that good stuff in your dark room, or I mean reclaim. EasyWay is where it's at. Thank you so much, EasyWay, for everything you do for us, for our industry, for the resources. Y'all crush it. Go buy EasyWay. Thanks, EasyWay.
If you love incredible dad jokes, Multicraft underscore daddy has been crushing it lately on Instagram. Just unbelievable. So give him a follow and then send him a message. Click the message button, send him your email address. He's sending out PMI tape and all kinds of other cool stuff every single week. Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies have been around for 50 years and providing you with top brands at competitive pricing. Mention Printavo Pod and receive an extra 10% off your first order. By the way, crazy to be in business 40, 50 years. That's just pretty wild. So congrats to you guys.
All right, let's jump on in. Is your MacBook gross? Like when you open it up, are you embarrassed when the screen's off of how nasty it is?
It's not too bad. I mean, my long hair might make it look like it's bad, but I'm not that gross, Steven.
Bruce, do you have a gross MacBook?
If you looked at it closely, it could fall in that category, but I don't know how to clean it. You can't just like do the air compressor thing. It really needs a scrub.
Everyone should clean their computer screens today. This is your public service announcement.
Stephen clearly does a daily morning scrub.
No, I cleaned it yesterday.
A little hot tub, some candles, bath salts.
Spa day for the Mac.
Spot it for Mac. Jared Gavard, JG Graphics. You know, when I was writing this down, I kept saying GJ. And I was like, JG, little tongue twister. JG Graphics out of Rancho Cordova, California. Might be the tallest shop owner in our industry. Are we clocking in at 6'6", 6'7"?
No, I'm only 6'4". My brother is the tall one. He's the other half of the company.
Oh, okay.
He's 6'6". So I guess collectively, yeah, we're probably pretty tall as a group. Probably 4 over 6 foot. So that works.
Tall family.
Oh, yeah.
You've been at it for 6 years. Screen printing, embroidery. I saw some live events, too, that you guys do.
Yeah, most our stuff's in-house. So we do the live events for our clients that, one, we're trying to market to, or two, that need event merch that are one of our bigger clients and don't want to front the money on it. So we will go out and print for them.
So Jared, you are also a full-time firefighter, right?
Correct. I work full-time, 48 hours on, 96 hours off down in Contra Costa County Fire.
So I think that's interesting because, like, you're a shop owner, you have a full-time job. How do you think it's, what have been the, like, struggles, but also maybe the benefits of having a outside commitment that you can't not show up for?
I can't not show up for that, or else someone else has to show up for me, and I don't like that. But commitment-wise, early on it was tough because I would put in all my hours of my days off. Like, it was just nonstop from 5 a.m. to 11 at night because I was doing every position. But I think what helped me was during that process, I started like evaluating what I wanted in the company, and that was to grow and not be the talent. So I started writing down everything I did. So if it was artwork, I'd write it down. If it was making screens, it started to be written down. Everything started to get written down until I hired our first screen printer to come in and print. And I had a system already kind of built because I've been writing stuff down for 2.5 years probably, and then brought them in and started delegating work to them. So I think what's helped me balance like the full-time job versus having a business that I run is trusting the people, like delegating the work and just putting trust in them, because at the end of the day, they're going to mess up just like we all did, but that's okay, because that's how they're going to learn. And now we're up to, I think, like 10 employees, and they continue to teach themselves. So as we get a new printer, we don't train as much. Me, from my perspective, they train them in their position now. So I think just delegating the work and trusting that it's going to work out.
So okay, that's so
how I've balanced it.
No, that's awesome. So, like, I don't want to say you're an absentee shop owner, but you aren't. I mean, you kind of had to build it around your lifestyle because that was a sacrifice you didn't want to, like, you wanted to be a firefighter, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you made the business work for you because you were almost forced to a little bit, right? Isn't that absolutely interesting, Bruce? Like, sometimes, like, the business runs people's lives, but in this case, you kind of had to tool it to work for you. I don't know.
Why'd you start on the side? What was the motivation then? Some extra money
I
to bring in?
I started printing shirts in like 2011 when I was at Chico State just for fun. Built my first press out of wood because why not? And started printing a bunch of the frat shirts, sorority shirts, all the club teams, like just on this little one head thing I made. And then I bought the next press. And I don't know, I just enjoy the business side of it. So it just continued to go. And then between 2014 and 2019 was during my fire academy, my probation time, Cal Fire, that's a no-no to like mix it then. So I kind of put it on hold, but I'd been writing stuff down. So then when I got back into it, that's when it started being like, hey, I'm off probation. Let's see if we can enjoy the business side as much as I enjoy the fire side. So as not knowing the struggles it would be and still today, but.
I need this on the record. Who convinced you to buy your first auto, and what brand did you choose and why?
There's a bully in the industry. I don't know if you guys know him. His name's Steven. And we shared common interests in this Lawson Trooper that we really, really liked. We both had one.
Your guys' relationship goes way back. I didn't know that.
We annually hang out for like an hour.
For 1 hour. And then I just leave with the tail between my legs because Steven is trying to put me in my place. But
I had a
Lawson Trooper, and I went to the show and found out that's what Steven used and was also probably kicking every time it would not spin for some reason. So Steven came to me, he's like, just make the jump, just buy the auto, buy the rock. And then we did. And it was probably the best decision, one of the best decisions besides like systemizing our whole process. But other than that, like, the equipment is great.
I really wanted to buy a rock and my business partners wouldn't let me. So I just tried to convince as many other people to buy it because it looks cool. That was a young Steven.
Don't go to Steven's garage. He has his own rock fit probably in there just because he loves it.
I still don't have one.
For the fit also.
I know.
As a firefighter, what do you, you said 48 hours or so. Is that during the day or is that at random times when things happen or like, is it an on-call thing?
I go back tomorrow to work. So I got to be there at like, I get there like seven. We start at eight and then I will be there. What's tomorrow? Friday. Yeah. So I'll be there till Sunday morning at eight.
So oh, you sleep there, there stay there. Yeah, that's what you mean by 48 hours straight.
Yep. So we, anytime there's a call, it could be at 1 a.m. all day, whenever you get up and you go to the call.
Can you, when you're at the firehouse and you've done all your chores, can you work on the business?
Yes. So 8 to 5 is like a normal business day. That's your business day at the station. So throughout the day, you're doing training, you're at different meetings, you're doing this, you're making sure the rig checks are good. Everything's online so that if you go to an emergency that needs you, like everything's ready to go and you're ready for it, well, to your best ability.
But the shops clearly has to run, or is it not? Did you specifically set that up on the weekend so that way you, or like, does it rotate around during the week?
So 2 days on is the 48, 4 days off is 96. So every week it rotates back that one missing day. So I'm Friday, Saturday this week, then I'll be Thursday, Friday, then I'll be Wednesday, Thursday.
Ah, so. Okay.
Rotate.
So how does it work with, you know, Steven, you do a lot of consulting with shops and they will talk about how the second they walk in the shop, they get pulled into eight different things. You are physically not there and honestly, probably not reachable for periods of time. What happens? Things come up, questions come up.
I mean, it's a medical emergency for someone calling or it's a t-shirt to be printed. Like, the t-shirt will be there when I get back. I guarantee it.
It's like when you say it's just a t-shirt, Steven.
Yeah. Just a.
You can actually use that excuse. Like when I have crazy people that are like, you know, you're like, well, I'm saving lives and fighting fires. This t-shirt is just a t-shirt.
I have. I've had clients be like, well, our thing's on Saturday. We need this by Wednesday. I'm like, you'll get them by Thursday afternoon or Friday for your event. And they get all pissed off. And I'm like, well, you do know I'm at a fire station. I mean, there's lives that I've been to that actually need my help. Your t-shirts will be fine. Trust me. They'll be in the box for you. It'll be all right.
But practically speaking, what does it mean, right? Like, I don't know, just anything comes up. Is there a chain of command of things that, so that doesn't bubble up to you? Cause you have a staff of 10. So maybe there's some sort of like senior or lead type person, but it's a very great size. But it's not a size where it's like there's, you know, different management layers and all this other stuff. So like what's an example and like how did it self-solve itself without you physically getting notified?
Giving more of my responsibilities to our office manager. So Nicole basically runs the whole office for us. So everyone that has a question goes to her and she has the resources or she'll reach out to me at some point. But for the most part, Nicole has full power just to make the decision. And luckily we have a decent like staff that's been around printing for a little while. So they understand the concept that if something's wrong to go to Nicole. Steven also helped me get set up with the graphic source. So we have an art team that's like top notch. So we're not depending on someone or me to make the art. So everything runs without me there. For instance, we rented another shop in Loomis. So that's where I'm at today because I live in Loomis and it's like 30 minutes from the shop. And so I work with Nicole hand in hand when I'm here, but it helps me get like the actual work done. Cause I go to the shop, like you said, and as an owner, you get pulled right in like, hey, we need this, we need that. And like, which is great. But at the same time, like when I'm not there, it's weird how they just figure it out.
It's weird when you're not there, how they just figure it out.
Isn't that interesting? How
I
would like to see like if someone ran a schedule like mine that doesn't work fire though. Like don't go to your shop like a Tuesday and a Wednesday and see what happens. Like just work from your computer somewhere if you have the ability to.
This is kind of cool. I'm working with a shop right now. Incredible family. They've been at it 30 plus years. And they're starting to transition. And one of the exercises is pick a day to not go in the shop. And we like put it on the calendar and try and do it. And it's it works in both ways. Like the employees are like, yes, we want you to go somewhere else, go do something. But then like the owners are like, what am I going to do? no, are you sure you don't need me? And so sometimes like the employees actually like want you to leave.
Oh yeah. They enjoy when you're not there. I feel like one, they can chill out because you don't feel like you're being watched. But two, like that's their job. Like I show up to firefighting and do my job. Like I don't expect the chief to come there every day to my station and tell me, hey, remember when you get a call, you got to go to it. And it's like, well, no kidding. Where we write job descriptions. I mean, you guys probably have the same thing at yours. Like everyone has the minimums they got to meet. And if they go above and beyond, that's awesome.
So the glue, it's, or maybe one of the glue points is Nicole, I think you said her name was, like what extra decision-making abilities did you give her or tell her so that she can sort of be more autonomous, especially when you're like physically can't answer?
Doing what I would do if I was there. That's how I feel about it. Like she's worked with me enough now that if a problem occurs, if it's not urgent, she'll send me a message and then we can talk about it. But if it's an urgent message and I'm not answering, she has the right just to answer it as is. And yes, there's times that people answer the way you don't want to see it, right? But a job that gets answered the wrong way and you got to redo it, that's a great time to learn. I hate to look at it that way, but it probably won't happen again if it's a, say, a mistake that could have been fixed and it was the wrong way. The way that you don't like it maybe, but that's okay. Like we sit down and talk about it and figure out what we do better next time. And that's how we've kind of grown this, like giving her ability, you know?
I feel like one of the hardest parts about delegation is the everyone's like, I'm worried they're going to mess up. But I think when you delegate, you just assume they're going to mess up. And I think if you go into that mindset of it, it comes from a teaching kind of perspective, like you just said. But then it's also like, if there's another leader in the business, so, an example here at Campus Inc, we have CFO, CTO, super smart individuals. We might install a light bulb two different ways. And if I don't like the way that our CFO puts in a light bulb, I just commit to his leadership. I'm like, I'm just not going to open, like, he's totally allowed to do it a different way that doesn't align with mine. And that's okay. And so sometimes you almost have to be like, not bite your lip a little bit, but like, shut up and get out of the way. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you ever see this?
I've used it where I ask him, hey, show me how you just did that. Because I mean, that won't empower someone more than anything else. If they get to teach you what they just did, even though you know how to do it. I mean, just bite your pride, swallow your pride for a minute and you'll be all right. Like at the end of the day, your business is going to run better. I feel like I've been gone 2 days every week since I started this thing.
I'm curious at Printavo, when you started to hire really great leaders and like, you know, when did you have to like have that self-awareness of like, okay, I can't be a micromanager. They're going to murder me. How do I get myself out of the way? Was there a point in the business that happened to you, Bruce?
I physically don't think I ever mastered this, to be honest with you. I think I think it became an addiction to almost micromanage in a way. It's like just wanting it the way that you'd want it. And like, even when I feel like I'd prompted as like, here's the outcome that I want, I'd be like, and so you may want to start this by like talking to this person and going to this person. And it's like, I was like, you know, when I give those instructions, I'm like, are they going to kick this off like this and this and this? Cause that's exactly who I'd go to. And that'd be the quickest way. So I'm not the best example of this, honestly. I think our new CEO, James, is like way, way better. He's able to actually, you know, go from a week to week basis and wait for results on the next week and then talk about it and bring it up and give feedback and go from there and let people toil their way through and get out. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a lot to add there.
This is interesting. So when I'm out of sight, out of mind, I don't worry about things, but if it's in sight, then I worry about it a little bit. So like right now we're doing some cold outreach, and you know, we're sending tons of emails out and we're all copied on each other. It's like a team sport. And, you know, a salesperson sent an email a certain way. I was like, no, you don't want to say that. Like you want them to answer it this way. And they're like, oh, okay. and our CFO next to us, he's like, they're coachable. Like, you know, they're not all going to have like the suave way of like every way you're naturally a salesman. But if I don't know about it, then I'm totally okay with it. It's like when I'm hovering a little bit and I can see it and I want to be like, you know. So I think there's a part of it of just like actually
not being there.
Yeah.
I had a leader who led our technology and like product and stuff. And he was definitely more of a management person. He could take things on. He could own it fully. And I had full trust and confidence, except when shit hit the fan. Then I definitely got into it probably too much. And to his credit, what he was really good at was telling me, hey, dude, this is literally what you pay me for. Like, I got it. Let me keep you posted and I'll give you updates. And I think part of it was sometimes when I knew he was working on it, but I didn't hear back for like an hour, that's when my brain started to go to maybe worst case scenarios or let me check in or let me look into this too. And physically saying to basically back off, gave me some self-realization that I needed to do it. Now, it wasn't just once. I mean, he's definitely done that like over a few years period. And sometimes actually like removed me from certain Slack channels or, you know, like communication lines, just because I do think it's an addiction of like constantly thinking about it. It's just like being an owner and like being at home and, you know, and it's a Friday, it's like during the week, but if you're at home, your brain doesn't fully relax. I feel like until maybe the weekend, like things start to cool off. Cause there's.
So like when I'm not in the office, I'm still checking my emails a lot. I'm still checking Slack. Are you able to completely check out, or are you still like finger on the pulse a little bit?
Finger on the pulse for sure. I definitely, cause I have it on my phone. So I'm in half the Slack channel still. So if they need something from there, one, I help with a lot of the sales still, because I obviously, when you start the company, you have a lot of the local businesses know you. So I think that's my hardest part. Is I'm good at like letting the shop kind of just operate, like do your thing. Like if you mess something up, dang it, let's talk about it, but try not to, obviously. But when it comes to sales, I love the sales side and like the face front, like going to businesses and selling them and working with our sales team. Like, so sometimes when like I see an email go out from our head or like our head sales guy, it makes it tough because I'm like, well, did they email you back? And he's like, well, I don't know. Just be patient. They'll get back to us. And sure enough, like I should not have never bothered him because 3 days later he sells the job. I'm like, perfect. Just a different way, like you said, Steven, of doing it. I always kind of have my pulse like on because of the fact that it's so easy, but also it's that fact. I'm not to the point yet where I don't feel bad when I'm gone.
But what is that balance there? Because I do feel like there isn't a level of urgency or push that needs to happen so people don't. I don't know if the right word is lazy necessarily, but like it's like just slow down a bit, like, you know, keeping up the race.
Yeah, like I said, if they can't get back to me, it's probably because I'm on something more important. If I can't get back to someone, if I'm at fire, like you gotta judge.
But when do you prod? Maybe that's the question. When do you prod? And it sounds like we're more on the sales side, but yeah, this could apply side to or production too.
Say we have a job go wrong, and I'm watching and I'm there and I start to see the process and I know what's going to go wrong. That's when I'll prod it. Like Steven said, when you're in shop and you're around it, it's hard not to keep your hands out of certain things when you see it about to happen. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like mine's like stepping away and not feeling bad. So I'll always, that's why I might have a pulse on it still.
So I think there's true micromanagement where it's like, I don't trust my employees. And so I'm going to micromanage them. I think that's Jumanji level one that shops have to get out of, right? You have to trust and commit that they're going to make a mistake. But then there's this like helicopter owner, right? Where you can see all the emails, you're checking everything in the background. When you're not in the shop, you're still working, but like you're hovering everywhere. And then there's I feel like this third level of like, when I'm actually not there, I trust that it's going to get done to the same level of excellence that I would without me hovering. But then I wonder, like, isn't it the owner or the CEO's job to continually kind of apply a little bit of pressure, like keep the push going, right? Like, or is that just me?
No, you're totally right. Because there's always, like, since we've had that second press, there's always room to put more prints on.
You bought a second one?
Yeah, we got that a small rock now. We got the rock fit, and then we also have the bigger one. And we just bought a dryer and the Lotus Holland and also a CTS. We have all the stuff now. It's kind of nice.
What happens? So slippery slope.
Yeah, thanks, Steven, for getting me started.
Did you use a referral code?
Referral code? No, I should have. I think there's always that room to, like you said, helicopter over. You're always kind of seeing it. That's kind of the spot I'm in now. I'm not fully stepped back. I don't know where you're at, Steven, but I do feel like there's times I need to be more focused on what I'm best at versus just seeing everything, because there's talent that does stuff a lot better than I do now. Like, our printers are way better than me at printing. Our sales guy actually knows the sales system and runs it. Nicole's at the shop every day and is able to just run the shop.
Do you know what the funny thing about that is too? Is that when you do jump in, and I felt this too, you almost screw things up.
Yeah. Or you set it back because they're like, well, why you want it that way? Like, oh, okay.
It's like, dude, Bruce, you didn't add this or this or this, and like this broke that. And now I have to go in and fix this. And it's
I tried to put in a Printavo order and I messed up the entire thing. Hit the wrong statuses, wrong buttons, didn't upload the right things. And so like I was on a call with someone, they're like, just give us the file. Like, just we'll and I was like, got it. Coming right up.
Got me that.
I do think there needs to be a more black and white methodology of micromanaging versus prodding. I'm not exactly sure what that is. I mean, maybe some other folks, you know, you drop a comment if you started to figure that out, but I feel like there needs to be something written down where it's easier to reference back and forth to say, yeah, this is good. I need to jump into this. This makes sense. I can give some help, or, you know, leave it alone. Let them come to the outcome.
But I feel like if you own take this in another industry, like if you had a successful restaurant and you were the head chef or whatever, you're still going and like testing things out. You're going out and just asking the customers, are things good? Like, I think it is your job as the owner to have a pulse and know the heartbeat of the business. And so like, I don't think it's a bad thing to spend a little bit of time in support or a little bit of time in sales, a little bit of time on the floor. Like, I don't think that's wasteful. Now, if you're going in there and trying to be like, whatever that show is, like where they come in and flip everything out, that's probably overdoing it. But I don't know. I think the owner should be able to just freely kind of roam a little bit and wander, right?
I agree. But to Bruce's point, I agree that they should be in everything. But what is that point of micromanaging versus like prodding? Like you said, Bruce, like, are you going to each department and micromanaging them, what they feel like is micromanaging, or are you actually going there and like making a difference and like prodding them to do better? Like, that's the hard part sometimes.
I think we're like live brainstorming in a way, but I think it's back to what you said, Steven, is it's the level of trust, right? Like, so I've definitely had team members where I don't trust that they're going to be on that call or that they're going to follow up with that customer. And that's when I'm texting them or messaging them, hey, what happened with it? Were you able to follow up? Things like that. If I had trust that they were going to do it, it would probably be more of a conversation of like, you know, did the deal get done, or would like anything I can help with, or like things like that, that like it would be a check-in maybe towards the end of the week versus a live, like, oh, I know they have this call at 2:00. Let me message them at 2:15 if this thing got done.
I think that's what's been a force separated for me. Like you said, Steven, setting my lifestyle up to not be there because of going to fire. So
I really love the fact that you boxed in your time allocation from day one. I mean, it's kind of crazy actually, right? Cause you know, probably the first few years is when it seems to suck the most time. And you know, cause there's just so many roles that you have to pick up and do, but physically you weren't able to do that.
Yeah. Lucky enough though, my first station I worked at, the driver for me, his son was my first screen printer.
Huh.
So his son needed a job. And so on my days off, instead of me printing the stuff, I was teaching him how to print. This is like day one of me like, all right, let's run this thing in 2019. And he was there with me. So he was like 18 years old. Yeah, he messed up a bunch of stuff. But when I was gone at Fire, he could knock a one or two color out to start on the manual. And then he started like progressing and doing better. And actually today he owns his own shop. So it all worked out. But I'd have a choice but to work long hours on my days off versus, because the built-in 2 days con doesn't really help you. It's like a weekend you don't need in the middle of the week.
Isn't it crazy how limitations, like physical limitations of either resources or time or money, like create pretty cool outcomes? I mean, that's just what I'm thinking about here. It's just like it, you know, you think you need to add more fuel constantly to the fire, but the physical limitations allow you to create a different solution maybe over here that you didn't see originally. But anyway, you bought that. What was this second facility in Loomis you said you bought just to work there?
Yeah, so it's like a 900 square foot warehouse, and I built this office where I built this in here so that I was going and selling jobs in Loomis and like just being an owner of a company, and people would be like, yeah, well, down in Rancho, you can go try it on. And they're like, we're not driving to Rancho. Like, this community over here is very like Loomis, Penner, Newcastle, Auburn is very like close knit. They don't leave the area.
You built, you mean you put up all the drywall and all the.
Yeah, like built this whole room behind me here.
Yeah, you and so, Steven are very similar.
Did that, and then
is it leaking?
The outside, actually, it was like 600 square foot warehouse. That's just a gym.
I just haven't built the gym yet.
A full CrossFit gym in there, which is kind of nice. So, yeah, but I realize it helps with like one, me getting stuff done, but two, like when I talk to people, they can come meet me here. We have a code on the door, so if I'm at Fire, they can pick up their stuff that's delivered from the Rancho shop.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about the business today. So you started from zero. You have 10 employees. Has revenue been up and to the right? Have you seen like, have you hit a plateau a little bit? Like, are you in a good spot? Yeah, tell us about that a little bit.
We all know in this world or in business in general, there's different levels that you hit. So, you know, you hit your 300,000 when you're printing and doing all the work and you feel like you're crushing it on a manual. And then you start spending money and you start hiring employees, and all of a sudden $600,000 doesn't feel that great anymore. Even though you're making more, you feel like you're breaking even. And then you get to 900 and you're like, cool, we got three employees, four employees, and we're crushing it. And then you add more stuff and you're like, cool, now we're at 1.2. And what happened? You know, you're like, we were doing so good at 900. I feel like as you grow, it's like profit, profit, profit. And then you just match it. And then profit starts to grow again, and then you match it until you find that point that you're comfortable at. So we're at, I think it's like 1.4 or 1.5 last year, right between there. And profitability was a lot lower than it would have been at 900, but we also spent a ton of money on all of our equipment. We have added three more employees to set up. Now we have the setup to go to 3 million with just what we have in-house. So now I don't need to buy more presses. I feel like right now, like when I project it out, the two presses will run with our CTS, the screen cleaner. Everything is all set up now to progress to about 2.8 to 3 million and maybe add two employees.
And so, and that will be your business sweet spot.
That's right where I want. That's where me and my brother have talked about wanting to be. So.
And when you forecast that, do you have a percentage of growth year over year? Like, do you track this by the month and like, hey, we did this much in sales this time last month, we're doing this much, like, or is this just natural because, you know, like just good word of mouth?
Good word of mouth. We've added sales people. We have an inside sales and outside sales now. So that's helped a ton. The outside sales taken a lot off my plate. So I'm able to actually like work on business stuff versus not. So I just finishing up like an automated sales, like CRM that we started that I built. And so that will have a hot lead section and also just like an automated cold call section. So it goes to different people and the AI bots will read and see if it's positive, negative, and send to the right salesperson for their department.
So, are you a firefighter but AI engineer too?
Behind the scene AI is built into this one. So
what are you using to build this?
I was in a business group actually and met this dude that has a white label CRM system. So I fully 2 foot jumped in and it's been progressing for like 6 months now. It's been like a back and forth trying to figure it out. But that's what's allowed me is like, as we've grown, brought people in to do the sales and delegate to them, I've been able to step back and like, oh, I'm going to work on this so that in 6 months from now, come December, we're getting leads unknowingly. That makes sense. Like, oh, I want to reach this person. Instead of me emailing our sales guy, like, hey, call them. I just put in the system and let the system work. And if they email us back, that means they're interested. If not, then he can follow up in 6 months when he gets that, hey, they never called back email.
As in, you drop the lead into the list and then the outbound person, you know, is going
to tag like, hey, this is a good job for our outside sales because he's in the construction industry. Hey, this one's good for school, so go to inside sales.
Right. And are you pulling leads from like an Apollo or some website like that?
No, we're more just local wise. So I have a list of like probably 50 of the top. I honestly use ChatGPT and just ask it questions. Like, hey, send me the top 50 construction companies that have over 100 employees in Northern California. And it'll send me at least like 20 of them. And so then I just, hey, send me find the email for this, this, and this, and it finds them. So trying to stay up with technology, even though I can't seem to figure out how to set my headphones up or log into a podcast, but.
do you feel like you're, I'm going to push back real quick because I felt the exact same way, except mine was with product. So I always felt that, okay, if we just build this, or we just have this next engineer, or we just have this, you know, next product improvement or whatever, then we will be there and we can go sell to X more shops and we can really get there. And then when I get there, it's like, oh, not, you know, we need this improvement or we need this functionality or so on. And it became an overinvestment, probably around the product side and less around the sort of systems and product management side, actually. But with that said, applying it to your end, I hear, like, you know, 300K to 500K, then we buy this, then we add this person, then 700K, then we add this, then we add this person. That'll get us to one, then we get to one, then we get to one and a half, then we add this, and we add that press. Now we can get to 2.5 to 3 without having to add much, except maybe a few people. I'm just playing the devil's advocate here of like, do you foresee that as true? Like, or do you see like, okay, we may actually need to add either physical equipment things or space things, or, you know, not, you know, because at some point there needs to be other people that take off, or, you know, you delegate stuff to instead of rolling up to you. What do you think about that?
I guess what you're trying to say, Bruce, is are you calling Jared out for saying like you're just going to get caught in the same trap that you just described?
No, actually, yes, you're right. I am. And I am.
Bully him.
I feel it. Like, I feel it in a way of I remember it being in that exact spot. And then I heard you tell the story and I was like, oh, that validates how I'm feeling right now. And so I'm asking you what you think about it.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it's hard. I do think it's possible. And maybe there's another addiction here of like the reinvesting thing. I mean, this is the whole profit first aspect, right? Of we as owners are very good at pouring money back in, but it's harder to get to the pulling the money out because you just say, I'll do it on the next round.
Well, if it makes you feel any better for me, so I won't be killing myself inside. 3 years ago is when we set like, hey, you look at the industry standards and like the jumps that are like set in it. And that's why me and my brother looked at like, what do we need to get to 3 million? And so we wrote a plan. And that's.
Have you written a financial model for it?
No.
So.
I can't say no. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you just said you had the plan, right? Like,
yeah, my brother has the finance side that he has on that he runs all of it's our numbers, all that stuff.
Napkin of math. Yeah. Okay. So our CFO, he does this thing every year where he builds our projection, and then he puts in hiring, and he'll say, "What are the how many new heads are we going to hire? What are the cost of each one? And then when during the year we're going to hire them?" And so he'll basically say, like, okay, in January, our payroll is going to be this. In February, we're going to add 2. So it's going to go up 40,000. You know, it's going to go up this. It's going to go up that. And then we can look at it because labor is going to be your number one thing that's going to start to creep, right? And then it's just frivolous spending on equipment loans. I feel like that's kind of like number two, is like taking on debt. And then, yeah, I mean, besides that, labor and equipment, everything else is generally in a cost of goods sold. But what you don't realize is after you hire four employees, you're like, shoot, I need a manager there now. And then like you don't account for that. So I'd be curious if you almost like built an org structure and actually like said, like, we think this is what it'll cost at this part and this part. So you can get a path to profitability. Bruce, like, we never did this back in the day.
At all. Like what were the things from 1.5 to 2? Because those are really great, but like, or 1.5 to 3, that, so it's the manager, it's some extra equipment here and there. I mean, were there any other things that you feel like were surprising from a cost perspective?
Steven, that's you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, me? I thought you were asking Jared.
Yeah, Steven, were there anything surprising going from 1.5 to 3 million that, you know, you mentioned a couple on the manager side. You talked about some different equipment. You know, you guys moved spaces at some point. I don't remember where you were at business size wise, but
we
were there
moved
other things
it, like,
that slurped up?
Yes, everything. Climbing from $1.5 to $3 million was probably our, like, a very not profitable time. That's when we were in the middle of a move, and a move is going to always cost way more than you think. My business partners were very old school, pay with cash. And so they wouldn't let me move until we had $500,000 in the bank and we bought our equipment in cash because they didn't want any debt. And so, you know, two new autos, Sprint 3000, Unicoat, like the whole thing. And that was really dumb because money was way cheaper then.
Oh, yeah. Because there was cheap rates then.
Yeah. And so like we should have, you know, whatever. We bought the building, we owned it, right? But then like the amount of plumbing that need to go in the building and like the roof and this and then that. And so like we just, you know, we just started, like we moved into the space and started spending like it was in the space. And there were just so many little hidden things. Your power bill goes up, right? You know, next thing you know, it's a $1,400 a month power bill. Yeah, there were so many different things. And then when you start to climb, you take loftier risks and you gamble a little bit harder. So then you might be blowing a little bit money on some different apps and zaps and tools and all these things. So like, I just feel like it can be highly wasteful if you're not careful.
I wonder, I really like having the plan to 3 million because it creates like a structure of a longer term trajectory instead of trying to go week to week as much. But do you think when you get there, because you guys will get there, do you think it'll be like, all right, like this is good. Now let's really make sure we're as profitable and as owners we're taken care of, and you know, you take off whatever percent and or do you think you'll want used to get you guys to start thinking about the 5? Because this is sort of the sweet spot thing that you brought up, which is, you know, there are different sweet spots of more profitability, less profitability. It would be fascinating to say, no, we're stopping. We're going to maintain this level and fight the sort of owner addiction of growth.
For lifestyle wise, I'd say yes, I would stop there because it's been, I mean, it depends on what year we hit that, but so I've been doing this for 6 years and pushing to grow it with everything you can. And then as you grow it, you're trying to set up like, okay, what systems do we need? What foundation do we need? Like how, like Steven said, he has it from the financial side. I have mine more built from like, what systems can I have in place behind the scenes for each department so that when we get there, it's not like, oh, well, we don't have a status for that. We never have. Oh, we don't have a system for running 2 presses. Oh, we don't have a system for how customers pick up or drop off. Or so I've been working more on that. But to get the through that, to get to the part we marked at, I mean, at least we'll for sure take a break, step back, and evaluate to see if this is it or not. I mean, just like every owner would, I feel like.
Steven, wouldn't that be fascinating? And maybe you've seen this with a shop of, you get to some sort of revenue marker and you physically say, I'm not adding any additional overhead costs. Like we're done. And anything else that comes in, it's either subbed out or like, but this is the team. This is the space. This is the equipment. This is it. Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible. I think we have some friends in our industry that are content with their businesses.
I mean, look, if you could do 3 million, sweep off 10-15%, like from an owner's perspective, maybe even more. I mean, and avoid the sort of necessity to add another layer of management by trying to get to 4 or 5 and everything else that that entails. It is interesting. It seems like the owners that scale past that are the ones that are like, shit, I wish I could go back to the 3. They're like, I wish I would stopped. And then, but I kept, you know, you spent the 10 years getting to there, 5 years getting to there. The momentum just continues to build and push it past.
Yeah. But then you look at the next jump to where you want to get, and it's, you write that business plan out to get to the 10. You're like, damn, I am Steven from Campus Inc. And this is going to be brutal. Then it's like the next.
No, three to five, like 1.5 to 3 is a jump. 3 to 5 is brutal.
Yeah, that one looks terrible. Yeah. And the industry you have to jump into has to be like a full, I don't know, that it's not so much like your local print shop anymore. It's like you need to go nationwide.
Yeah, or have some real big fish.
Yeah.
This is super cool.
But I feel like I'd love to, I'll keep you guys updated on it for sure. I mean, once a year, at least we get to hang out after you guys surf and we BS at Long Beach, and I'll keep you updated on where I'm at.
Jared, the last thing that you do that's unique from other people is hiring folks out of prison and from, you know, either addiction clinics. You mentioned Alcoholics Anonymous. We have chatted with a few folks that do this on some level. How do you do it? What, like, maybe why and how does it work?
Just a quick visit to the local.
just scoop up some folks that are getting let go.
Flyers in the prisons. No, basically it wasn't intentional. So we just have people walk in our shop. So we only have one hire off Indeed. Everyone else has been just a walk-in, or I get a call and I'm willing to give anyone a chance if they're willing to work hard. Like, learning this industry is not that hard. Like, to print shirts is, the machine does most of it. You just need to learn and be interested in it. So I feel like as they've walked in, our first, like, look at that was this dude, Nick, who walked in. He was like 3 months sober and said, I'm really interested in shirts. I do this. I make my own shoes, graffiti shoe stuff. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But hey, man, we got people now. But if you want to be a shop guy and start testing it out, that's no problem. And from now, it was like 3.5 years ago. And now he's moved on to be, he actually moved into our head screen printer shop. Like, he's the head printer. And then he trained the guy that's there now and moved on to like a big management position for a steel company. So he's doing good. The next guy, he got himself in some trouble, our head printer now, but he's wanted to print shirts for 15 years and no one in the area was giving him a chance because I don't know why, his past or what's on his history. But he's probably the nicest, coolest dude, and he gets all the jobs. He's the hardest working. Another guy, Cassidy, he sews all our patches. He is now printing and sewing patches, so he does both. When we don't have patches, he's on the little press. And then Mitch, he's another guy out of an AA program. He's our head sales, so he's full send. That guy, he keeps me on my toes. So he'll probably reach out to 20 clients a day and sell 3 of them. It's wild. So it's really nice because he's just, sometimes I'm like, the slow down thing and take a sec to look at your job. Thank God Nicole's in the office seeing them all. So she kind of readjusts what's going on there.
Is there a limit, like, for folks who maybe were incarcerated? Is there like a, we go up to
no
local felon, you know, level yes, one? I don't know what it is.
I'm not worried to meet someone, and usually when they start, I'll try to be there too so that they feel more comfortable. But now that we've been doing this, we have multiple people they can lean on. So if something starts going haywire, they're having a rough day, it's not like asking me because I don't really know what they're going through. But it's pretty cool they can go to the other like team member and ask them like, hey man, like I'm really struggling with this. Like what do you think I could work on, or what can you help me with this? And usually they just talk with like between themselves. And it's really cool to watch like all of them do really well now and actually be able to have a career and feel comfortable where they're at, I feel like. So,
and if you need to part ways, are you pretty quick with a fire trigger then?
Oh yeah.
No pun intended to your...
I think there's like, we've had probably four that have come in that we fired like within two within a month, and then two were there for a couple of years and then decided to start drinking at work again. So they had to go home.
It's tough.
Forever.
Interesting.
But I think it's a great, they're the hardest working ones we've had. Like,
yeah, the approach you take in business is very interesting. I think your story is cool because you've built this company to not like run your life. And I think that's like super admirable. I think you've got this like calm, cool collectedness, and I bet you your shop probably takes on that personality, which is not my shop. But I also think it's pretty cool that you give individuals a shot. So I bet you guys run a pretty happy business there. Something you should be proud of for sure.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like it's a, I'll go to the shop to hang out just because I enjoy hanging out with everyone and being around them. No, so
Jared got his logo tattooed, Steven. I haven't seen yours yet.
Campus Ink?
Yeah, it's 3.5 inch wide, 4 finger down, perfect pocket print.
That's actually really funny. Wow. Yeah.
The guy actually came to our shop and wanted to do a trade for, I don't know what the trade would have been besides the tattoo, but he wanted like 50 shirts. And I was like, if you
did
bring
you do
all your
faux
stuff,
embroidery, so it like, it looks like embroidery.
I should have, dang it. But we're a screen print shop. That's our main thing. So we got to look at like nice, nice, fresh print. But he came to the shop and tattooed me while I laid there while they printed shirts behind me. It was pretty sweet. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well go full.
Yeah.
Steven, you're up next.
Bruce will get one. He, yeah.
Our logos don't look as cool for tattoos as yours.
I really wish you would have said Bruce would get one and he just ripped his shirt off and had one. That would have been the best.
Justin Lawrence would show you the one he got yesterday.
Yeah. Quite a few. All right, fun. Jared, thank you. We appreciate you being able to share JG Graphics. You guys can reach out to him, JG Graphics on Instagram, ping Jared, or if you're in Loomis area, California, Rancho Cordova, also hit him up. But not on fire duty. He'll be busy.
Yeah.
If you thanks want to find
me,
we appreciate
it ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. True, true. Make sure you're not on. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us this week. We will see you again next week. Have a good one. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.